Hey, you're listening to Cut for Time, a podcast from Faith Church located on the north side of Indianapolis. My name is Claire Kingsley. Each week, I'll sit down with one of our preaching pastors to discuss their Sunday sermon. Cut for Time is a look behind the scenes of sermon preparation, and they'll share with us a few things that we didn't hear from the sermon on Sunday. Thanks for listening. All right, Jeff, it's Cut for Time, and it's been a few weeks, and we just restarted our Acts series, and so this is your first Cut for Time back in Acts with us, and you preach from the passage Acts 13:13-43, right? It was a long passage.
Yes.
And it was titled The Message, and so why don't you give us just a little overview from your sermon on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, this may be the kind of the shortest overview ever. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark leave the island of Cyprus. They go up north to the southern coast of Turkey, where John Mark leaves them, not really explained why, and we'll sort of pick up more about that in a few chapters. But Paul and Barnabas travel north to this town called Antioch, another Antioch, a different one, kind of in the south central Turkey, where they go to the synagogue. And I think, you know, as would have been typical of the day, as sort of the guest rabbi, Paul's invited to give a message. So he takes the opportunity to essentially sort of connect the history of God's people to this current moment, and particularly about how Jesus has become the fulfillment of everything God planned and promised, and how that's centered in his being raised from the dead as the authentication of everything that God had promised, everything that Jesus had said about himself, and as a guarantee of all of the hope and confidence we have in God's plan and promise to rescue and save us. And so that was kind of the outline of what Paul preached. And so the outline of what I was sharing on Sunday with this, what we were trying to do, what I was trying to do was hopefully help us step into the shoes of the people hearing this for the first time and sort of encourage us to be astonished again at the reality of this and the significance of what we experience and what we know and the relationship that we enter into with God through faith in Jesus, because he is the risen one. And that's meant to just sort of be mind-boggling for us, like it would have been for these people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you had set apart a few certain verses that you wanted to be read as a part of scripture reading during service. Is there anything that you would encourage us to like go back and read because maybe we missed it, or anything that we missed? Not because it was, I mean, obviously you picked out what was essential, but anything that you'd want to highlight that wasn't a part of that reading?
I mentioned, I think briefly, like they make this 100-mile journey from the coast, even after they get to Turkey, to travel up 3,600 feet in elevation and across the Tarsus Mountains to the city of Antioch. And you know, I think the people probably would have known where that place was and what that would have communicated to them. But I think maybe for us, you know, we have to step back and sort of get familiar with the like geography and everything. Like, why would they go to that place in particular? And yes, we can say the Spirit led them, but there's just this interesting little historical note that we know actually from historical documents that the family of Sergius Paulus, this Roman proconsul who was mentioned in last week's passage in the early part of Acts 13, who came to faith, that his family actually had land in that region of Asia Minor, in that region of Galatia. And so it was long speculated, like in the early centuries of the church, that this new Roman convert, this proconsul Sergius Paulus, had maybe even suggested them going to Antioch in Pisidia because they would have had a natural sort of connection and a base of operations there
Cool.
Because Sergius Paulus may have, you know, like invited, encouraged them to go visit his relatives and the land that they had in this part of the Roman Empire. So to me, it was just like, it's not the main point of the message at all, but it kind of suggests like, yes, God works supernaturally, but he also works through our lives and our connections and opens doors just through natural relational networks that we already have, right? Like God for us is not necessarily sending us individually across the globe, although that may be true for some of us, but he's sending us into Broad Ripple or Fishers or Zionsville or Westfield or North Indy or Nora. And those natural connections are the places where God's going to use us, right? Like, so I think there's just like, there's a kind of a cool encouragement there. Like one, this new believer has something that he can offer and contribute to the part of the mission, right? Like he's still back in Cyprus, but he's connected to the work going on in another part of the world. But that work goes on through, again, just like the resources and connections that God puts in front of us. It's just kind of cool. It's a, you know, it's a neat little reminder of how God works and how he uses us.
Yeah. Okay. So they went into the synagogue to preach this message, Paul and Barnabas. Like they were offered as the guest speaker of, in a way. Right. Is there a chance that like the people running the synagogue were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not what we were expecting when we said you could speak here. And there was like some element of like, you know, risk when they are going to share this message in the synagogue? Or is that like not a concern, you know?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there, sure, there is that risk. And there is that risk. And we start to see that happen more in the later chapters of Acts as that develops. But at this point, actually, the couple of verses that we didn't really touch on at all is, as they went out in verse 42, the people begged that these things might be told them on the next Sabbath. So like they get a really positive response from the people. Like they're genuinely excited. Like, this is amazing. Like you're telling us that God has actually fulfilled all these promises and he's worked through the person of Jesus, who's his son, who's actually God in the flesh, and he's actually risen from the dead, and he's fulfilled all these promises to David, and we have access to that now. Like they're like super excited, and a number of them like become really interested and urging them to tell them more. And so initially, at least, there's this positive response, and they're going to see, you know, sort of, and we're going to see coming up next week in the passage that there's also some opposition that comes with that too. So you're right, that happens as well. And that's going to be a pattern going forward. So yes, on the one hand, it's like a natural, going to the synagogue is totally a natural connection point for them, because you're going into an environment with people who have, like they understand the story, like they know who the God of the Bible is, and they're part of the story and they're his people, and they have a shared understanding of the nature and character of this God and how he's revealed himself and what he's promised and the hope of the Messiah. And yet, you know, the message of Jesus being the fulfillment of all that is still like people have to decide whether they're going to accept that or not. And so there's a commonality and some common ground, but there's also still going to be a challenge to like, oh wow, like this carpenter son from Nazareth is really the promised son of David, who, like, because again, they're still expecting, in a sense, probably like the political military leader who's going to rule in power and come on a big, you know, war horse and drive out the enemies. And that's not what Jesus came to do. So I think for all of us, whether it's Jew or Gentile, or, you know, we're going to see the pattern continue in some similar ways, but with a different sort of direction and emphasis, like the gospel always comes to, and if I can put it this way, both affirm and highlight true things that we really believe and long for about God and hope and redemption, but it's also always going to challenge us too. And so they're experiencing that in the synagogues, and they're going to experience that, you know, in the next chapter when they're speaking to pagan Zeus worshipers. And like the gospel is always connecting with us at a fundamental level because God has made us for himself. And there's that part in all of us that is longing for that relationship with God, but it also challenges us. And the real question is, am I open? Are we open to letting God challenge us in those ways where the gospel needs to challenge us?
So in the same way, like the people who are hearing the gospel for the first time in this story of Acts, they are hearing something completely brand new and eye-opening because they're like learning about their long-awaited Messiah, someone they've talked about for so long. And we don't necessarily, that doesn't resonate as well with us, because whether we've known Jesus our whole lives or we've come to know him, we don't have that same historical cultural background. But still, the gospel can still be really striking in its own way. So like, I don't know, do you have some things that you've learned through going through eShift or our evangelism training and life-to-life training that you could share with maybe some of our listeners who haven't gone through that yet, of how to share the gospel in a way that meets people where they're at, and it is the good news that's like helps like set up for them to receive in a way that's life-changing in the same way it was life-changing for
these that's some huge questions. That's great. I think so one thing that stands out here is, okay, so Paul, again, he's going to this, Paul and Barnabas are in this audience, this congregation, where they already had a lot of shared beliefs and values and worldview and understanding of who God is. And we may think that that's the case with like the people we go to work with and we meet at soccer practice or, you know, kids play dates or whatever, but that's not necessarily the case. And I think one of the best things is just a reminder to ask good questions. Like, I think for us, I mean, here Paul, of course, is giving a message because he's been invited to give a message. Like, they're asking him, hey, tell us, what's God doing? And, you know, what have you heard? And give us a word of encouragement or exhortation, you know, almost like preaching in church on Sunday. But when we're going out, it's not like God is not sending us out so much to preach a message or deliver a sermon. We want to get to a point in a relationship where we have an opportunity to introduce people to Jesus and point them to him. But the starting point should really just be demonstrating care for people and interest in them, and just starting with asking good questions that could lead to some really meaningful spiritual conversations so that we can understand, what do these people believe? Like, where are they coming from? What's their hope for eternity? What do they think about life after death? What do they think about where we've come from? And has God spoken to us? And is there only one way to know God? I mean, those are all questions that are known and answered and in the background for this community of people, but we don't have that. And so one of the right. best things that I think I've taken away and a lot of us have taken away in our life-to-life groups is we're not going out to like try and tell people a bunch of stuff. We want to get to the point of sharing our faith and pointing them to Jesus. But the first thing we need to do is just start asking good questions and listening and just keep asking questions. Like, the more that people are willing to share, like, just lean into that and ask further questions to clarify and understand, because we're genuinely interested in knowing where people are spiritually and what kinds of things are going on in their life. And because that's what leads to being able to connect them to the message of why God sent his son into the world. And at the center of it in this message, of course, is Jesus dies on the cross for our sins, and he's risen on the third day to defeat sin and death for us. That's, you know, the center, the substitutionary atonement is the center of the message. But the gospel is so much bigger than that and broader than that, right? Like Jesus has come to open up the way for us to live in God's kingdom forever. Like the experience of life where God is ruling in goodness and peace and love and justice and righteousness in our lives and through us in the world, like that's what we're made for. Our hearts long for that, right? Like for peace and goodness and beauty and love and forgiveness and purpose and understanding and community. Like, so the gospel touches on all of these areas of life that we're made for and that our hearts are longing for. And we don't really know which of those are going to be the connecting point for someone until we get to hear their story, to know who they are and what they believe and where God is showing up in their lives or where their lack of Jesus in their life is showing up, even if they don't understand it. So just like a step before this kind of, you know, presentation is just making relational connections and asking questions to get to know people and understand them. And then we can start to engage in conversation about spiritually significant matters in a way that will be meaningful to people, because mm-hmm. we're not just coming at them with a thing that we want to hand off to them, but we're approaching them as a friend and someone who cares about them with a message that relates to what's come up through those questions that we've asked.
Yeah, I think what I hear you saying is, like, play the long game when it comes to evangelism, right? Like, be prepared to just be in relationship with someone for years before you may even have a chance for them to, like, come to fully know Christ. And say, like, that's okay. Like, that's play the long game. This is the story of Acts. Seems instantaneous, right? Like they shared the good news, people accepted, boom, now they can move on. They were in the long game already. They've had this shared history of the Messiah for generations and the promised Messiah that they have been waiting for. They were in the long game. And so we also, I just don't want us to think like if it's not instantaneous, then something is wrong, or we did it wrong, we didn't present it correctly, or they weren't ready to hear it. You know, like, it's all valuable to, like, to share, but I don't know, play the long game when it comes to
I like that.
Sharing
That's
the gospel.
Good. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So Jeff, any final thing that you'd like to leave us with for many of us who have heard this gospel so many times and it is really good news. And so what? Like, what's next? What should we do with that?
Right. That could go in so many different directions, obviously. The last thing, and another little part that we didn't really cover at the very end, at the end of verse 43. So, you know, people are responding to the message. Some of them are following Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. So I just think, man, what a great takeaway for us, right? Like, sounds like some of these people have come to accept that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And so Paul's not giving them some radically new, amazing thing. He's just like, yeah, and this is, as we know, like, the whole story of God's work with his people is grace and kindness and undeserved blessing and goodness. And Paul's saying, so keep on living in that grace. And as you know it for yourself, that you're asking and inviting God to help you live out the amazing, astounding, incredible grace that he's poured into us and live it out towards other people.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Cut for Time. If you wish to submit questions to our pastors following their sermon, you can email them to podcast@faithliveitout.org or text them into our Faith Church texting number, and we'll do our best to cover it in the week's episode. If this conversation blessed you in any way, we encourage you to share it with others. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.